The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
But right now, we're going to step into our interview here on Freedom 106.5 FM. In studio with me, I have Mr. Mahendra Rampasad Kuhn, UTT Senior Instructor, Center for Information and Communication Technology and Discipline Leader, Master of Science in Cybersecurity, UTT. That's the University of Trinidad and Tobago. So please tell me that I did not mess up your name. Did
not
I?
Not much. It's Mahendra Prasad Kuhn.
Well, good morning, and I do apologize.
It's fine. So, good morning, Tosca. Good morning to our listeners. Thank you for having me here.
So today we're talking about cybersecurity, and it is something that is on our minds, especially as there was a huge movement towards doing things digitally and online during the COVID pandemic. We saw the necessity, seeing that we couldn't be in contact with one another at that point in time. But with that movement to being online, we had to talk about security. Can you tell us what is the definition of that security, and how important is it?
So one of the problems with that area is the difficulty in defining it. Cybersecurity allows us to engage in our activities on our digital portals safely, mm-hmm. without having to be worried about the attacks, and that people will steal our information and then use it against us to take our property, our money, our identity. Mm-hmm. And it can be very frustrating when these things happen. So you're not able to use your devices, and you're not able to access your funds at your bank accounts and so on the way you ought to. Mm-hmm. Because there are players out there who are looking for every opportunity to find areas of weakness so that they can attack and take control of what we have. Mm-hmm. Some of them are looking for to get access to your money. Some of them are just looking to be disruptive. But whatever the reasons for doing it, the effect is the same. We cannot do business. We cannot communicate. We cannot study, mm-hmm. the way we'd want to. As you said, just as the internet was what we call disruptive technology, it changed the way we do business, it changed the way we entertain ourselves, the way we access services, mm-hmm. everywhere. COVID was also a bit disruptive. It forced us to rely more on these internet technologies. And during that period, during those few years, from children to adults to the elderly, were forced to change that way of doing things, even though we have all these fears. We never wanted our children, mm-hmm. to engage and use these services because it was exposing them to a lot of dangers out there, just like we wouldn't leave them in the park to play alone unsupervised. Mm-hmm. And our elders were afraid of using these services because they're afraid of making mistakes, they're afraid of getting problems. But they have no choice because the push is all towards doing everything online.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to protect ourselves, our devices, our property.
And from that, I would assume policies and procedures would need to be created. Seeing that this is a new forum that we're getting, not so much, when I'm saying new, it's more exploratory because it's such a wide and vast. It's almost like the sea. You're not really knowing the depths of it.
Well, it's not a problem to say that it is new, mm. because the technology continues evolving.
Right.
So the way we did things last month, it's, mm-hmm. different from the way we can do them now, or the dangers we were exposed to then are a little bit different. We have more dangers now, mm-hmm. that we are exposed to. So we keep having to change the way we do things. We keep having to put new policies and new procedures in place. Of course, the old ones have been there and we continue with those, but we have to keep looking out for these new dangers and make sure that we are continually updating our security systems, and our policies and procedures must match those.
And with those policies, are there discussions on laws pertaining to protecting those, both business and private, to ensure, as you said, as we talked about before, the safety of individuals from such things as taking people's identity information and using it in the wrong way?
Oh, most definitely. The problem is, as you would be aware, the changing laws, enacting new laws, putting new legal procedures in place, it takes quite a long time. Mm-hmm. It has to go through long processes, and not to mention the legislative arm with their debates and so on. And sometimes by the time things get enacted or assented to, it's already obsolete. Mm-hmm. We have had some laws put into place many years ago, 5-6 years ago, and they have not been assented to. So we cannot take that as it is now and implement them right away. Those will have to be updated given the new environment. And that is one of the difficulty I mentioned earlier, because that technology keeps evolving, because the players keep updating their skills,
mm-hmm.
and because they keep changing the way they can attack your systems. They keep reviewing, they keep updating, they look for any points of weakness to take advantage of those, which is why your cell phone and your devices have to get updates like almost every day. They have to be updated.
Mm-hmm.
And even that is a little bit disruptive to your work, but it has to be done because these weak points are being discovered either the difficult way through players attacking them or through normal reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to be patched to ensure that those weak points do not exist, so that the players, malicious players or players with malicious intent, can take advantage of them.
Now, in terms of cybercrime, seeing as you say, they've evolved, and now it's not like physical crime where it is you let's say, take for example, you go to the store and you're buying something and skimming was a problem. Now we're going online and there's cybercrime. What are some of the tips or some of the things to look out for so that we can safeguard ourselves from being targets online?
Okay, so some of the weak points, mm-hmm. might be on your devices, operating systems and applications and so on, that malicious players can look at the coding, they can look at the way the system is, and they can find those weak points. That is difficult for you as a user to identify and protect. You have to rely on the developers of these applications and systems and devices to put things in place.
Mm-hmm.
But the single weakest point that players, malicious players I keep using, can take advantage of is the user themselves. Social engineering, phishing, and so on. By sending out emails to you that mm-hmm. looks like a legitimate email from an institution. Recently, we saw a spate, and I myself received probably about 40 or 50 of them, a spate of emails coming out purporting to be from TT Post, asking you to click on this link and your packages have arrived and so on. And fortunately, TT Post was proactive in that they put out an advertisement quite early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that many of our citizens would have seen that and not reacted to them. Unfortunately, about a week later, I saw that someone wrote a letter to the people claiming they were a victim of such an attack.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we try to educate our users and so on, sometimes they still mistakenly or naively click on links.
Because this is something that I wanted to get to, because like you said, they look authentic, and it's something simple as probably a full stop in the wrong place or a handle that is incorrect. Is there any like online forum or gateway that we can go to that can teach us how to look out for these telltale signs of a fraudulent email or a scam? Because they do it so well. And like you said, they probably observe the human nature, you know, and take advantage of that.
Oh, yes. So there are many institutions like ourselves and general people who have good intentions. They have a lot of these guides and advice for people. And, you know, we keep us expressing that don't click on suspicious link. If you're not sure about it, don't do it. If something that looks too good to be true, it generally is.
Yeah.
For instance, just last week, I won £800,000 on a Mercedes Benz and a number of other things. And all I had to do was send in some money so that they could put things in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that was a scam. And even simple things on Facebook, you see people offering, well, they want to give away a free phone or they want to give away a car. or somebody won a television but didn't claim it, so it's still available, so they want to give it to you, and all you have to do is type this or type that. When you do that, what you do is you are exposing yourself as someone who is naive and a victim, that you would respond to these things so then they can contact you further. Additionally, I have, every so often, I don't post on Facebook and so on, but I have a presence, and every so often I get friend requests, right, from some beautiful young white women. I don't mean to be racist, but that's the reality of it. And they are always clicking, they're reaching out to be friends. Now, there were a couple times, and it's not only women, by the way. Sometimes they look like legitimate businessmen and so on. And they are always trying to reach out. And sometimes, because of my field, I might click accept just to see where it goes. And inevitably, within a couple days, I get the offer, did you know that you have won so-and-so? And that you could claim this and you can get that. And of course, then I just block it completely. But without fail, every single one that I've tried, which is probably less than 10% of the number of requests I get, has gone down that route. So the main thing for people is to educate yourselves on how you can protect yourself, how to recognize phishing attempts and scams. And as you asked for sites...
bots as well.
Say that again? Bots. Yes.
Yeah, because the that's one thing about being having an online presence. You kind of understand that there would be certain profiles and so on that don't necessarily have a human attached to it, but it is generated based on your responses to, let's say, a business. Because another part of it is to AI. And AI generated responses, so you don't have the, if it is, you don't have the manpower to sit down at a computer and answer those requests. You send out a algorithm or however you put it. I don't know the terminology that well.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. So you kind of wonder, okay, is this a genuine business that was responding based on that format, or is it because you also see the shows that do investigative things with call centers and so on, and they would use these bots to get your attention, and then, as you say, you would respond, and then a conversation begins. These are so many different ways of getting into the space. How can you tell it apart? Are there any telltale responses that we should look out for that can alert us that says, yeah, this is a scam?
Well, you see, that is the difficulty of it. One of the definitions of artificial intelligence is that when you are interacting with an artificial intelligence entity, you are unable to tell that it is an automated device. You actually believe that it is a human being or a sentient being that you are communicating with. Hence the term artificial intelligence. That's the overall or overarching property of it. So it's very difficult. But one of the things I advise people who ask me is, what makes me a recipient of such a message? What makes me warranted? So in other words, if it seems to be random, then it is generally an attempt at phishing, because they will just find you like that. And that's the thing about the bots and the artificial intelligence algorithms and so on. They send out millions of these. And if a small percentage were to accept those, however small that is, that's okay for them, because they know, they are operating that if we get a few, then the response that we'll get will be more than worth it. And as you say, they don't need to have all that manpower to send out those things. They use the artificial intelligence units, they use the bots and so on to automate it and make the process less labor intensive. So you have to look at those things and determine, why was I selected for this? And if you know that you didn't participate in anything, you didn't put in any applications, then chances are you received it at random. So a lot of people, a lot of these things, they get your information by scanning. They send out, they put out stuff. Like, let's say on Facebook, you see somebody put out, seemingly a normal person from your country or even your area, and they use names that you will recognize.
You're familiar with, yeah.
And they will ask questions. Do you remember growing up here? Who grew up in this street? who went to that school, right? Mm. Who had a pet name so-and-so? Who had a German Shepherd dog or something like that? And what was the name you gave it? And if you think about it, these are the kinds of questions people use to chat that at the bank's online systems challenge to ensure that it is you when you say you forgot your password.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are doing that, they actually collect information about you.
Mm.
So when you follow up with certain groups and certain individuals and so on, and people send out emails and you respond to these things because it's just fun,
mm.
your information is being harvested along with millions of others. So again, you have to be careful with how you respond to those things. My suggestion is not to.
Yeah,
I don't respond.
It's kind of hard because I thought instantly about, you know, these quirky personality tests that they send out, or let's make your match kind of thing. What kind of yes. man are you into, or what kind of female are you into? And they give you, you know, seemingly harmless little scenarios.
And they put out things to pique your interest because
yeah.
they get an idea of what you like and what you don't like and what will arouse the curiosity of large numbers of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they just put out a little thing there, and then when you have hundreds of people responding, they are able to get information. They're harvesting potential clients slash victims.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, so yeah. let's take a break right now. And any questions that you have, listeners, you could send it to 306-1065. We'll be right back on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Cricket fans, get ready. Freedom 106.5 FM is bringing you every thrilling moment of the T20 World Cup live from June 2nd to June 29th. Tune in for exclusive commentary on all of the action only on Freedom 106.5 FM. With matches playing in the USA and right here in the Caribbean, it's your front row seat to the world's most exciting cricket tournament, the ICC T20 World Cup. Remember, Guardian Media Limited, we are Cricket. T20 World Cup action. Brought to you by
Shiglisha Limited, Standards, O Snacks, and Casey Candy.
Cindy, what are you doing home so early?
I come to meet you for us to go grocery shopping and to get the kids stuff for school. Boy, I hear my co-workers talking about a grocery in Arima and one in Barataria who have the best prices. Come, let me go right now.
Oh God, look at this place. I never see a grocery like this in this country.
Darling, look at parking. Like these people own the whole street.
Look at these prices. Like everything reduced. And you ain't see how helpful and friendly their staff is.
You see, we get everything and still have lots of money remaining to get the kids stuff for school and also to carry them somewhere good for the vacation.
If you want to save money and live better, shop at Mirage Westside Supermarket in Arima or Jumbo Foods in Barataria, where shopping is a pleasure.
Our view, a woman's perspective.
A discussion of anything and everything.
We go beyond the cliches.
We may not have all the answers, but we ask some pretty good questions.
Our view, a woman's perspective. On CNC3, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. with reruns on Saturdays at 5:25 p.m. and Sundays at 4:15 p.m. Live streaming on Facebook and at cnc3.co.tt. Brought to you by Standard Distributors, The Hive Collection, Cetaphil, BioBalance, and Maybelline.
Shiglisha Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags, leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder, and greaseproof paper, ideal for doubles, french fries, and sandwiches. Supplying stores nationwide. For quality products, trust Shiglisha Limited, 665-3336. Shiglisha Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags, leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder and greaseproof paper, ideal for doubles, french fries and sandwiches. Supplying stores nationwide. For quality products, trust Shiglisha Limited, 665-3336.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
So we are back in studio, and my guest, Mr. Mahendra Prasad Kuhn from the University of Trinidad and Tobago, and we're talking about cybersecurity and cybercrime, as it has taken a lot of prevalence within the last couple of years. moving from the period of many people not being online or using online services and then making that transaction and then finding themselves the victims of cyberbullying, account hacking, money laundering, extortion, and then online scams, etc. And we were just talking about how it is that you find yourself unconsciously in some cases becoming a victim of these things. And we were talking about how they grab at you for your attention and also your information. And the last thing we talked about is these little personality tests that we feel we could whimsically do, and it has no, you know, repercussions, but it is a way of gathering information. And in the dubious age of artificial intelligence, it's kind of fascinating and scary at the same time. And also, I wanted to touch on, from the position of education, University of Trinidad and Tobago, they're going into cybersecurity as a subject. So, Mr. Kuhn, you could tell us a little more about that.
For about 5-6 years now, we have been running a Master of Science in Cybersecurity program at UTT. And it has been well subscribed. We have over 100 students within the systems right now, and along with several people who have already graduated. And we are about to introduce into our bachelor's program and even our diploma at some level, cybersecurity programs and courses, so that our students, in my department, we focus on computer engineering and cybersecurity, so that we have our graduates who are going out into the field of work in IT at whatever level, they will have that cybersecurity exposure, because we are told that cybersecurity is one of the places that is most in demand right now. The kind of skills and competencies you need to defend your organizations, your systems. All companies are looking for people with those capabilities, with that kind of competencies. And that's one of our goals, is to provide skills and people who are able to provide those services.
And so, from understanding that that is a need, and they always say that you take a look at the jobs, job environment, by what are the needs currently that are not met. So you get into that type of profession. In terms of, you know, understanding online and the internet, how forward or how developed are we in Trinidad and Tobago to understand that cyberspace?
So we have quite a large number of people. Our education rate is pretty high. Our tertiary graduates, number of graduates within the country is pretty high, much higher than it was, say, 20 years ago, particularly with this drive with education. Other institutions besides UWE, there was a time when it was UWE alone, then we had a number of private institutions who had arrangements with foreign universities, and then UTT came out from the TTIT history, with UTT being our local university, and we had that engineering push. We also have education, agriculture, marine affairs. So we have a large number of graduates out there, and the people in general, we are a very literate society. And there's with cell phones and devices, there's a high penetration rate, meaning there are very few people out there who do not have these devices. So they are aware at some level or the other of the need for cybersecurity, the need for protecting your systems, the need for protecting your data. And it's also a part of the national conversation. We see it on the media all the time. You see companies advertising their services and so on. It's out there on the internet. So I think many people are by and large aware of it. It's just that many people believe, oh, I'm just a small fry. Nobody is going to be interested in hacking my system. I don't have to worry about that. It's kind of like, Trinidad is a nice tropical place. I don't need to walk with an umbrella. The rain wouldn't fall.
And God is a trinity.
Yeah, the weather people telling us that rain going to fall and so on, but don't worry, we'll be okay. I don't need any umbrella. And cybersecurity protection is just that. To many companies and organizations, it's an expense that doesn't bring a direct return. It protects what you already have and what you are earning. But many people and even small and medium enterprises and so on, they may not have the kind of funds or the outlay, the capital available to put in that protection. So many of them, they take the risk when they should rely on protecting their systems.
Now, the strange enough, this weekend I looked at Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, I believe is the name of it. And the whole concept was, okay, artificial intelligence on this submarine. The submarine is cloaked by that intelligence and systems running. And the whole scenario, I don't want to give away the movie, but the whole scenario is basically, you know, that intelligence working simulations, right? And from that, I thought about the amount of power a person would have, or corporation, to have. Yes, they're providing security for your systems, but at the same time, they can very well be the ones that turns the system against you. You know, how do we find that confidence as the average citizen to trust someone who's, one, basically protecting that the security of my identity, information, money, and so on, that they in turn wouldn't use that against the individual? How do we rationalize that?
So that is a good question. What happens is that many of the movies we have seen in the past, from 2001, Odyssey, and The Net, Terminator, and a bunch of those others, they have shown that the artificial intelligence that we put our faith in is one of the things we have to fear the most.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, where there are human players, the ones who have our faith and trust and the ones who we give our money to, they are the ones who are behind some surreptitious move to get more power, to get more money, to get more control of our population. So you are right in that regard, that it has raised our awareness, it has reduced our trust of people in these positions, because you are the one I'm supposed to rely on. So it's kind of like hiring a security guard, but you're afraid of the security guard himself or herself. So one of the things you have to do is you have to do due diligence. You have to look at the reputability of the company. You have to look at their clients, some of the people they provide services to. You have to get some feedback. It's kind of like you're going to buy something on Amazon. So what you do is you look up reviews from previous customers and what they felt about the product, what they felt about the dealer, the kind of services and so on. And not just what happened last week, but over a long period of time. So in order to develop that kind of trust, you have to do it. So we have some large numbers of companies out there. This is a kind of service that could actually be provided from along global lines. They don't have to be physically here. Although we have a number of companies now offering those services in Trinidad and Tobago, quite reputable. And we could look at, say, government use of their services, partnerships, alliances, and so on. And that can give you a good indication of how much store and faith you can have in them. But you don't just engage their services and stop and right then, there. You keep reviewing, you keep monitoring, you keep looking at what you are going and what it is you are exposing your organization to. To determine if your level of exposure is too high.
Now, from the beginning of, I shouldn't say sudden influx, but the use of the internet, we always thought, okay, well, if I have an antivirus program running on my computer, then I'm protected. If I have a spyware thing on the phone, then I'm protected. Are those programs still relevant, or do you need to up the game, up the type of security that you have on your, say, your laptop, your phone, etc.? What would be some of the things?
Oh yes, they are still very relevant. Unfortunately, they are no longer efficient. They're no longer sufficient or adequate. You have to take more steps. So in the old days, when we had our houses, we had doors and windows, and it was sufficient just to close it. I remember growing up, leaving the house, not locking the doors and so on as I was a child. Many of us have that memory depending on your geographical area. Then you had to start locking your doors. Then you had to put in burglar proof. Then you had to fence your property, put your gates, put there was a time you could have been comfortable parking your cars on the yard or the side of the road. Now people do it because they have no choice. They would prefer to have secured parking and so on. So the steps that you used to take in the old days, your windows and your doors, you still need those. You still need your burglar proof. But now you have to up the game. In addition to all of these things, you have burglar alarm monitoring of your place. You have cameras. You have facilities where your burglar alarm can call out a security company or the police and so on. Those things are still relevant. In much the same way on your PCs, your computers, your devices, you still have to have all of those, your antivirus, your Defender, we're familiar with Windows Defender, all of those are still relevant, but now you have to have additional services and protection to keep your systems clean and safe.
And of course the updates, making sure it's the real update and not the phishing update that they send, because those things look similar. So you just have to differentiate which is which.
So very good with that. When you have the updates coming in, you have to know that it's coming in from the company that you have bought your device from or the relevant operating system. And you have to use those original sites. Do not use third-party sites. So sometimes there's a lot of free software that you can use, trial software and so on. But when you go look for it, there are thousands and even millions of third-party sites that you can download your these software and so on from. I recommend you don't do that, because these have a motive for putting it there. Sometimes it's just the advertising and so on, but there are many of them who put in their own additions, their own plugins into these software. So when you put it in and you install it, all of a sudden you start seeing new keys and new links on your browsers. And when you get responses, when you do searches, you get responses with a number of other things coming at the top, not what you normally would want to get. So whenever you're downloading software or you're getting updates, make sure that it is from the original source themselves.
The provider, yes.
Yeah, the original developers and providers, not from third party. Because that opens you up to people taking advantage of that. That is a weak link. If they're pushing it through emails and or pop-ups and so on, that's a good clue not to use those.
To disallow. Now, the more that you speak, the more I'm sure those on the outside thinking, yeah, I probably need to get to University of Trinidad and Tobago and get into this program, because it's heady. You know, it's quite intense. And if it is that you're not cyber fluent, you can get
tech savvy,
you can get lost in it. And I'm thinking especially for the elderly, those who they say that you can't come to the offices to do in-person stuff and you have to do it online. I can see that they are very vulnerable as well. So would there be like other programs that is not as intense, or quote-unquote not for want of a, you know, I'm not making fun, but more elderly friendly? Would you all have programs like that as well coming up?
So we have different levels of program. We have diploma, certificate, bachelor's, MSc's and so on, Master of Science programs. So we cater for all levels. However, one of the things we can do as well is people who are interested in one-off courses. Like they mightn't be interested in an entire bachelor's program. They're just interested in a certain topic. They can do those courses. They can apply. We do have a process that they can get access to those courses and so on. Additionally, one of the goals of the Caribbean Cybersecurity Institute is to provide such a service. So we have people from different organizations, some NGOs like credit unions, organizations who do business and so on. They ask us to conduct training seminars and training sessions for their employees or their customers. Recently, we provided a service it is still ongoing with the Ministry of Digitization and Digital Transformation, where we have an introduction to cybersecurity course going on. So every Monday evening from around 6 for about 2 hours, we have instructors from the cybersecurity program conducting sessions for people out in the public. It is a free service. It's provided to them free through D-Hub, there are a lot of courses and a lot of training. They have that push there, so we have that partnership with them right now offering that service, and we have over 200 students coming into those courses. Those things are available. We are willing to do that kind of work for both organizations as well as groups.
Well, we've got an interested student here. Good morning. How can one get to register for this cyber service course?
So the MSc Cybersecurity Program on the UTT website, you can go through the process for that students or interested people use. Follow the links. It's fairly straightforward, and you will be guided on how to apply for whichever program you want. And once you click on that MSc Cybersecurity option, it will tell you what you need and what documents you need to submit and so on. Mm-hmm. If you're having trouble, you can call UTT, our student services, and they would be happy to guide you. The student services or the registry, and they guide you through that process. They are very, very friendly to people who are interested in services. And then even they can get numbers of instructors and lecturers in the program. Me being the discipline coordinator for the MSc, I have 10, 12 calls from interested students every day. So we provide that service as well. We are happy to engage with people who are interested.
Yeah, because this is, whether we like it or not, it is the way of the future, Trinidad and Tobago. We have no choice. Yep, we have no choice. So lastly, any tips for those who may or may not be able to get to the program so that we could start to check our systems to make sure that we are a little more protected than we were before?
So the main thing to do that we say is do not give in to phishing links, to phishing scams and so on. Those emails and those great offers you get, avoid those. Don't click on those links at all, not even just to see what it is about, because it could take you down a rabbit hole. And also you can do a search. How can I protect myself? How can I protect my device? And you can do some reading on that and follow research. There's a lot of guides, a lot of forum out there that people can participate in and talk to others who are in the system, who are aware of it, and you can get those guidelines and so on to participate in those programs, and you can develop your skills in protecting yourself. But you have to make sure and remember that the user is the single weakest link. So make sure that you do not give away your information, that people can take advantage of it.
We have one call coming in. Let's take a call. I probably have a question. Hello. Good morning. You're live on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I tuned into your program about 5 minutes ago, and people have to realize that they are the product. And I joined X about 3 months now, and the amount of, how to put it, people messaging you on DMs and whatnot, how, you know, telling you that you win so much and money and this and that, and you had to send $1,500 for them to send you that money. And I just blocked them right away. One of the things that I did that really helped me a lot, I enrolled in a VPN, and I don't get any more spam. I don't get any more unwanted advertising or anything like that. So if people want to go to the lecture, I might get a little VPN and attach it to your phone, and all them unwanted searches and all these kind of things does disappear. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for your call. VPN, what?
So VPN is a virtual private network.
Okay.
So it protects your information. It prevents what we call man-in-the-middle attacks and so on, people intercepting your communication. So what happens is when you install a VPN on your device, it is encrypted and so on, and it passes through your internet provider, your ISP, but the rest of it, nobody knows where it is going, what it is for, until it reaches the end. So it protects your system from that, from anyone intercepting your communication and so on. It can also, it can be used both for good and bad. So a lot of people use it, let's say in Trinidad and Tobago, to access services from the US that are designed only for people who are in the US. So when you get that VPN from the provider, you can your communication reaches to them with a U.S. IP address, not your local Trinidad and Tobago IP address.
Mm.
So you can mask that. And if you purchase a VPN service, you can install it depending on who you get it from. The ones that are free are usually slow generally. I'm not saying they all are,
mm-hmm.
but generally. And the better, more popular ones cost a little bit more. But you can install them on many, multiple devices, you know, like your phones, all the family phones, the PCs and so on. Communication devices, internet connected, you can install them there to protect yourself from that kind of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one, that is an extra cost that you have to be willing to pay. And two, you have to be a little bit tech savvy to use it, to know what you can
what it is
and
you're
cannot
doing.
Do with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get problems, you need to access services to help you troubleshoot and get out of that rut, as it were,
mm-hmm.
so that you can continue your work.
One of the tips that I got in terms of social media is to remove the access to your location, because I think from that the algorithm is designed to like what you're choosing and what's in your area. Is that something, another thing that we can do to protect ourselves?
Well, you see, remember, the more information you give about yourself,
mm-hmm.
the more they can target you with relevant emails and so on, and phishing attacks. They get more about your personality and what have you. So your location is just one of that bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get around without putting out that, then that's fine. You see, one of the things we do that is dangerous, a lot of people, they travel and they post pictures whilst they are traveling. They post pictures while they're at the restaurant. They post pictures while they're at the beach, while they're abroad. They ride in a camel back and it's beautiful. And they post a picture and it's nice to see. But every time you post one of those, you are saying, I am not at home.
You see, it's like a rock and a hard place, because you want to share all of the exciting times of your life, but at the same time, you're sharing exciting times of your life.
So when you post a picture on the beach with your entire family there, then you are saying, my house is empty. There's no one at home, because we are all here having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets you up. So, like I say, the less information you can publish about yourself, the more you will be protected.
Mm-hmm. But that's the draw of it, you see? So, yeah. TNT, I hope within this last hour you got some good tips. And Mr. Kuhn, thank you so much for joining us here today to give us the information. And for those who are interested, one more time as to how you can get to enroll in UTT's programs.
So you just do a search for UTT online and it will take you straight to the UTT website, and it can get links there for potential students, how to apply, what documents you will need to submit, what programs are available, when we're starting, when we have classes, and so on. And if you are having trouble with that, you can contact our student services at UTT, our registry, or anybody at UTT. Actually, if you go onto our UTT website, there's a staff directory. So if you look in the staff directory, you will see my name, Mahendra Prasad Kuhn, as one of the many people. You will see phone numbers there. You can contact us and we can guide you directly if you are having problems on the website.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kuhn, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for having us.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.